Well, hey guys, welcome to my daily update video. Hey, in a moment, I'm gonna jump into part two of my mini series all about how to live free from the fear of man. I'm really into this at the moment. God wants us to be completely and utterly free. Yeah, hey, more about that in a moment. Quick housekeeping thing, this video is brought to you by my friends and partners of Graham Jones Ministries. Big thank you to all of those who commit to pray for us, those who sow financially into our ministry, whether that's a large amount or small amount, whatever that is, we love and appreciate you. If you want to become a partner, there's a link below, and we thank you for that. Do check out as well all the other links below. Churches in New England, my ministry school, my online Zoom call now once a month, lots of great things going on, and my traveling ministry as well. At the moment, I'm booking 1 to 3 day meetings, doing little mini gospel healing crusades in North America and Europe. So if you're interested in hosting me, let me know, talk to you about that. Good, let's talk about the fear of man. You know, I began yesterday by asking what I think is a really great question. And it was this: what would life look like if we were completely and utterly free to do anything? I was going to say free to do anything we want to. I'm not talking about sin or bad things. And yet, what if we were free to not care what anybody thought about us? What if the opinion of others played no place whatsoever in what we did or did not do? What if we actually lived like free people? Can I suggest to you, that's exactly how Jesus lived. Jesus came, he loved people. Man, he loved everybody. He loved the people who the opinion of others had no value to, obviously. But Jesus never really cared what anybody thought for him, about him, except his Father. He lived under the influence of his Father. He lived for an audience of one. And I don't say that to be critically, and I'm talking about myself as much as anybody who might watch this. And yet I believe that we are bound by the fear of man in a million different ways all the time. I think we're constantly aware and thinking, what will other people think of me if I do that, if I dress this way, if I do that, if I praise God, if I witness, if I, you know, it's such a big thing in people's lives, and I do not believe the Lord wants it to be so. So I began yesterday reading that verse, Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whosoever trusts and puts his confidence in the Lord will be exalted and will be safe." I want to be exalted and I want to be safe. Not a great place to be. So let's continue in this little study. Where does the fear of man come from? You know, if you think about it, God made Adam and Eve, put them in the garden. They were clothed in the glory of God. The Bible says they were naked. They were without shame. Yeah, even they weren't even bothered what they thought of each other in that way. They lived absolutely under the influence of God. They knew what God thought of them. God had looked at them and said, "It is good." And there was obviously nobody else to judge them, but the fear of man was not part of the experience. When the fall came, immediately mankind, man and woman, went, sewed fig leaves and hid themselves, hid their nakedness, obviously. But in a sense, we've been doing that ever since. There's a very deep part of us that lives with sin, that lives with shame, that lives with rejection, that is constantly trying to sow fig leaves and not let the world see who we really are. There's a part of us in all of our identity that is broken, that is lacking, that is less than. And I think every single thing we do, we feel, there's something in us anyway, capacity to feel judged. And it's so insipid, it gets everywhere, it really does. And I think we, all of us, have been born with a fallen nature in a fallen world. We've grown up amongst the fallen people, and obviously Satan, the accuser of the brethren, is there in the mix as well. And we've lived in this culture of judgment. And it's so real, it's so, like I say, it's insipid, it gets everywhere, and we don't even really see it after a while. And as I said in yesterday's video, I think what happens is we unconsciously begin to take choices based on that reality. I can't do this, people will think of me, I can do that. It's actually amazing, if you think about it, how much time and effort and expense people will spend to try to build a name for themselves. Now, whether that's people trying to build a tower. Remember the Tower of Babel? They said, we will build a name for ourselves. Or somebody going on Instagram or social media or YouTube or whatever that will be. And it's like we seek the praise of others. We seek the approbation of others. We seek the acclamation of others. We seek the approval of others. It's kind of a sad thing in a way to say, but a child that didn't grow up with its father and mother verbalizing approval of them and saying, you know, you are my child, I love you, they're going to be constantly seeking that approval all the days of their life. They're going to sometimes run from one relationship to another looking for the approval they never got as a child. I want you to see that rejection, separation from God, is the root of the fear of man. And it's important that we don't simply look at the fear of man like some psychological technique to you know, how to build confidence, how to be a better you, how to self-confidence. I don't think we need self-confidence. I think we need God influence, and we need to live so much under the influence of heaven that we live free from the influence of man. That's the bottom line with this. Let me finish with this today. But when Jesus began his ministry, in a way, Jesus lived for 30 years a hidden life. He lived as a carpenter, lived in Nazareth, made coffee table, made IKEA furniture for the folks, you know. And then the day Jesus began his ministry, Matthew 4, Luke 4, the Father speaks to Jesus, and the very first audible words that Jesus hears from his Father, recorded in Scripture, is, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And I believe, let's call this step number one. If you're going to live free from the fear of man, you need to hear God say that. I don't mean simply read it in a book, no Bible verse you can quote. You actually need to know that God is looking at you right now. God is looking over you. God is speaking to you right now. And God is saying to you, "You are my beloved son. You're my beloved daughter. You're my beloved child. And I am pleased with you." You know, the Father was pleased with Jesus before he ever preached one mini sermon. The Father was pleased with Jesus before he ever healed anybody, he ever set anybody free. The Father's pleasure, approval, and acceptance of Jesus had nothing to do with the performance of Jesus. It had to do with the identity of Jesus. And if we're going to want to begin to smash and break the fear of man in our lives, that begins with Holy Spirit speaking those words to your heart. "You are my beloved child. You're my son. You're my daughter. You're my child. I accept you. I love you." When you know you're absolutely accepted by God, you're going to begin to live free in everything you think, everything you say, and everything you do. I've noticed in life that children who are brought up by very good, loving, affirming parents are bold and confident and are not, you know, live a lot freer from the fear of man than those who are not. Now, we need the ultimate parent, our Father who is in heaven, to tell us he loves us and accepts us. We need to dwell in that and soak in it until it's a reality. Perfect love drives out fear. That's key number one to beating the fear of man. Boom. Hey, I'm going to be back in tomorrow's lesson and talk about the fear of man and the fear of God. You don't want to miss this. Again, check out the links below. And if you're on YouTube, please hit the subscribe button down there. And I'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye for now.